This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's take a look at news here on your Wednesday morning. The Department of Agriculture yesterday said there's progress in the implementation of the U.S.-China Phase 1 Economic and Trade Agreement. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue says China has taken several additional actions to reach its agriculture-related commitments. The actions include the signing of a protocol that allows for the importation of fresh California nectarines and the lifting of a ban on imports of U.S. beef and beef products from animals over 30 months of age. Additionally, China has updated its lists of facilities approved for exporting dairy, infant formula, seafood, and fish oil and fish meal. Also, China's new tariff exclusions process went into effect on March 2nd, and importers can now apply for exclusions from retaliatory tariffs. Perdue says USDA will continue to closely monitor China's implementation of the agreement that was signed back on Valentine's Day. Perdue adds, quote, "These implementation measures are promising steps showing that China is taking steps to fulfill their purchase commitments." Following a record-breaking performance in 2019, U.S. pork exports maintained a torrid pace in January, while beef exports were also higher year over year. The U.S. Meat Export Federation says January pork exports cooled slightly from the volume and value records established in December of 2019, but still far exceeded year-ago levels. Both January export volume of 273,603 metric tons, up 36% year-over-year, and export value at $738.7 million, up half or 50%, were the second highest on record. Meanwhile, beef exports posted more of a modest growth in January, increasing 2.5% from a year ago in volume at just over 107,000 metric tons, and 5% in value at $672.7 million. Exports accounted for 13% of total beef production, down slightly from last year. Released of the January export data comes as coronavirus is dominating news headlines, including those related to global trade. U.S. MEF President and CEO Dan Hallstrom said the virus has had an impact on red meat exports, which will likely be more evident in February and March data. Also in other news, this month's 1920 U.S. corn supply and use outlook on the WASDE report was unchanged relative to February. The season average corn price received by producers was lowered 5 cents to $3.80 a bushel on observed prices to date. Global corn production for 2019 and 20 is virtually unchanged from February's report at 1.4 million tons. This month's foreign coarse grain outlook is for slightly higher production, consumption, and stocks relative to last month. Global corn production has raised 400,000 tons as an increase for South Africa is partially offset by reductions for India, Peru, and Russia. For South Africa, production is higher as continued favorable conditions during the month of February boosted their yield prospects. U.S. soybean supplies and projection for use for 2019-20 are mostly unchanged this month as well, with soybean crush at 2.1 billion bushels and exports projected at 1.8 billion bushel. Ending stocks will remain at 425 million bushel. That's down from 848 million from last year. Soybeans and soybean oil prices are reduced this month. The U.S. season average soybean price is projected at $8.70. That's down a nickel. The soybean price is projected at 31.5 cents per pound. That's down 2 pennies. Soybean meal prices are unchanged at $305 per ton. And finally, the 2019-20 U.S. wheat supply and demand outlook is unchanged this month as well. The projected season average farm price is also unchanged at $4.55 a bushel. The 19-20 global outlook this month for wheat is for higher production, increased consumption, and export, along with lower ending stocks. Output is raised on higher production forecast for India and Argentina, more than offsetting reductions for Turkey and Australia. India's projection is raised 1.4 million tons to a record $103.6 million, mainly on an updated government production estimate. World exports are increased by 800,000 tons to 183.6 million, as higher exports by Russia and Argentina are more than offsetting reductions for Canada and Australia. And like most U.S. markets, commodity markets have been hit hardest by the news of the coronavirus. Arlen Suderman is the chief commodities analyst for Intel FC Stone, who says there are good reasons the commodity markets are being affected by the coronavirus outbreak. The biggest reason being is the fear that's keeping people at home.
When they stay home and they don't go out, they tend to consume less food and they tend to consume less meat and more starches. But overall, it does change consumption patterns and certainly does reduce the amount of energy they consume, because if they're not driving, if airlines are canceling flights, that is energy that is no longer used. We know the connection between the energy and the biofuels markets as well.
Not only does fear play into less commodity consumption, the fact that people are staying home means shipping and logistical problems in moving commodities also get worse.
We definitely saw that in China, and we anticipate we'll see that elsewhere as well, where people did not show up to work because they were afraid of the virus. And so ports became congested, boats didn't get unloaded, and it just really slowed down the shipping. That was lost demand that you don't get back. Some of it you get back, but a lot of it you don't.
While the stock markets and the commodities are typically two separate things, there's something on Wall Street called the VIX index that measures fear. Suderman says when that index goes higher than its typical 10 to 20 range, that spells trouble in the commodity markets.
It's based on put option premiums for S&P 500 futures. When I have found over the years that when it's above 30, it's difficult for any commodity to sustain a rally despite the 60. And we've been spending quite a bit of time on 30. When it gets that high, then the fund managers just tend to move all their money to the sideline and to the safe haven, which means undoing positions in the commodities.
At that point, traders also bail out of the equity markets and run to cash. Suderman says that's why we've seen an unusual correlation between the equity market and commodities recently. He says he has not seen markets this reactive to news headlines since 2008 and 2009 during the financial crisis. And also in other commodity markets, energy futures have also taken the brunt of a hit, crude oil especially. This morning, it's down 89 cents a barrel right now at $33.47 a barrel. That's really taken a hit to the fuel prices in the local area. I know on my trip in this morning, gas in Coffeen is at $2.14 and gas in Hillsboro is right around $2.20. So those prices in the short term here lately are going to be pretty good for us, but in the short term could turn out to not be so good for the producers of the oil to make the fuel we need. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. Moving on into other news here on your Wednesday morning, into weather. The December through February period was recorded as the ninth warmest. That's the meteorological winter, and that's according to freeze notice meteorologist Dan Hicks.
That's right. If you look at data back to 1895, which is kind of the beginning for the national database, of course, many areas have records that go back farther than that, including parts of Illinois. But starting with that 1895 time frame, it ranked as the sixth warmest December through February for the lower 48 states as a whole. Here in Illinois, it ranked as the ninth warmest since 1895, just about 5 degrees above normal. We had a lot of above normal temperatures during that period of time, and really the truly wintry conditions were fairly short-lived during these 3 months. Looking at March so far, we're right on that trend again, running about 4 to 8 degrees above normal for the first 9 days of March. We really haven't had any cold weather to speak of so far this month in much of the Midwest. We had a little bit of rain pass through the region the past 24 hours, really the first major precip that some areas have seen so far this month. Saw a lot of 1/4 to 1 inch rainfall amounts across Illinois the past 24 hours, and a few amounts a little over an inch fell in the central and northern part of the state. So, you know, fairly significant rain for March. It is moving on to the east now. We'll have a short period of some dry weather today into tonight.
That was Dan Hicks, meteorologist with Freeze Notice Weather. Moving on now to our local Ag Community Bulletin Board. Coming up next week on the 14th, actually, this Saturday, the Montgomery County Extension will be hosting an All Gardeners Day. That'll be held Saturday morning from 8 until noon at the Holy Family Catholic Church Parish Center in Litchfield. Again, that's the All Gardeners Day, Saturday, from 8 until noon at the Holy Family Catholic Church Parish Center in Litchfield. And that'll wrap it up for your Wednesday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have anything for us ag-related, those items can be sent to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So for this Wednesday morning, March 11th, this is Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.